The Ouroboros Cycle, Part 2. In the last part, we looked at 9 children who had been abducted from a small Mexican village and turned into brain-dead weapons by the Foundation to be used against an army of reality benders. Whether or not that act was justified is irrelevant, as it was done, and the Foundation is likely very grateful that it was. In this part, instead of looking at the Foundation creating a godlike weapon, we'll be looking at them combating one. I've already covered this Broken God 001 proposal briefly in my video on the Church of the Broken God, and I highly recommend watching that video first to give you some background info on the Church itself. The Broken God is a Moxer entity, a rather unique designation meaning broken, which is being used in place of neutralized. Think of it like a dormant volcano instead of an extinct one. It's still dangerous under certain conditions, but right now it's not a threat. It is essentially a collection of specific anomalous objects that come together to form an entity that is greater than the sum of its parts, like Voltron. Unfortunately, unlike Voltron, when this entity came together in 1942 in Mexico, it resulted in a catastrophic change to Mexico's geography and one of the most widespread uses of amnestics to date. The containment procedures note that if a similar event were to occur in modern times, it would be impossible to contain the spread of knowledge, resulting in a broken masquerade scenario, and eventually, an end of the world scenario. There is a partial list of SCPs that were used to make up this entity, and I went over several of them in my Church of the Broken God video, but most of them aren't really significant to this story. What is important, though, is that members of that church, or at least a branch of that church, went to efforts to gather together these SCPs for the specific purpose of creating this entity, the Broken God. When they did, the Broken God began to find and integrate whatever metal objects it could into its body, as well as begin seeking out other anomalous objects. Eventually, though, the Broken God was, well, broken once again, with many of the components taken back into Foundation custody, and the primary component left at the bottom of the Gulf of California under a strict watch. Let's find out what broke the Broken God, and all of the background info that led to that event in 1942. We're given a statement taken from a priest of the Church of the Broken God from 1945, who discusses the first time he saw the heart of the entity, presented by some other church members. This heart would be the core of the Broken God, the primary component that allowed it to be a god, and eventually the component that is left sitting at the bottom of a gulf. Priests within the church are responsible for blessing various artifacts related to the Broken God, and this priest had already done so on a number of other artifacts. When he first saw this heart, though, he was taken aback by the wrongness of it. It spoke to him telepathically, showing him how much pain it was in, how broken it was, and how much it desired to be whole again. He then corrects himself, saying that the entity associated with this heart didn't desire to be whole, but rather it was being driven by some sort of impulse towards an unthinking end. This is in stark contrast to what the church normally thinks of their God, an entity of pure logic and thought, not impulses. The priest begged the others to take it to the beach of SCP-2217, where it could conceivably be destroyed, but they ignored him. The heart began to move of its own accord and consumed a nearby wrench, integrating it into its body. The others cheered that their god was unbroken, and the priest never saw them again after that. Next, we're given an excerpt from an interview with a member of the FBI's Unusual Incidents Unit, who describes an encounter she had with some members of the Horizon Initiative. The Horizon Initiative is a group formed by various sects of the main three Abrahamic religions to combat anomalous objects and groups they deem a threat, including the Church of the Broken God. The UIU had already handed over a few religious objects, and now the Horizon Initiative wanted them to hand over the objects they had collected connected to the Broken God. While the UIU agents were deliberating, a strange woman with iron chains for hair approached them and asked for a small metal box. The agent asked what the box did, and the woman replied that it would be easier to show than tell. The woman somehow induced a vision in the agent of the world falling away and an image of two gears that were once meshed together and now broken apart. The vision continued, with the solar system appearing as essentially a machine, hurtling through an oily cosmos with the power of an infinitely unwinding spring. After the vision passed, the agent says that the box felt heavier than before, or perhaps more significant, and she handed it over to the woman despite the protests from her teammates or superior. We'll hear about this chain-haired woman again later. Another interview with a priest of the Broken God taken in 1945, this time an excommunicated one though. The interview concerns the heart of the entity, and the priest discusses how he first heard about it from a high-ranking agent of the church named Ezekiel. Ezekiel worked for Robert Bumaro, who had become the leader of the church, and Bumaro's agents could apparently speak with the Broken God. These agents were the first to begin augmenting their bodies with technology, many of them dying because of it. But Ezekiel was spared this fate, as he was especially close to Bumaro. These agents would gather any potential artifacts they could find to see if they were meant to be a part of the Broken God, and ship them down to Mexico if they were. They had found a bunch of these artifacts, but were still missing the heart, the key component. Ezekiel was the one who came to Bumaro and told him that if they couldn't find a heart, perhaps they could build one of their own. This was basically heresy, as far as most of the church was concerned, and so discussion of it was kept a secret. The priest admits that they followed through on this plan. They never found a heart, and instead, they constructed one. He's not sure what exactly they went through to build it, but he has his speculations. There was a drought, the polio crisis hit an all-time high, and thousands died of natural causes, with him believing these events to be connected. He finishes by saying that that was not the heart of God, but instead something altogether different. The next file gives us our first actual look at the 001 entity, a description of some video footage taken by a local film crew that happened to be on site. A home has already been destroyed, primarily the garage, and there are metal fragments and strips of rubber leading down the street. Pieces of multiple automobiles are strewn across the street, and the trail leads to the entity itself, which is currently consuming and integrating a truck. The entity continues to consume any metal in the vicinity, and additionally, a section of the entity itself breaks away and begins to search for more sources of metal. As this sub-entity searches, it starts to alter its shape, eventually changing into a humanoid figure roughly 3 meters tall, or around 10 feet. It picks up a dead civilian and places them inside of its body, moving on to pick up a second civilian attempting to crawl away. It also places this civilian inside of itself and continues to grab civilians in the vicinity, placing each of them inside of itself. A growth is forming on the entity's back, and by the time it has grabbed 6 civilians, the growth is larger than the humanoid itself, and it ceases to walk. Its limbs recede into its body, and its ribs extend out, allowing it to scuttle up onto a nearby roof. Here it sits for 20 minutes until its exterior begins to crack and get torn away from inside, revealing a few humanoids. Each one seems to be infected with SCP-217, a virus that converts organic tissue into organic metal, known as God's Ichor by members of the Church of the Broken God. These humanoids exhibit physical characteristics of the six captured civilians, although one of them appears to be dead. One of them, a male with clockwork limbs, jumps from the roof and lands on its stomach, which seems to not harm it. It begins chasing after the 001 entity. The other humanoid, a female with chains growing out of its scalp, waves at the camera crew and then stops, jumping out of view of the camera. Well, that all sounds pretty horrible, and not exactly what I'd picture from the return of an omnipotent godlike entity of logic. There are elements here very familiar to the Church of the Broken God, but as others have said, it's just wrong. The entity is growing though, insatiably consuming every piece of metal in sight to make itself larger, and showing no qualms about killing civilians and turning them into something else. This event occurred in November of 1942, so let's move on to a phone call between Robert Bumaro and one of his agents from December of 1942. The church has reined in the entity, keeping it in a warehouse and continually feeding it more metal, per Bumaro's instructions. The Foundation, meanwhile, has been trying to find the entity, the other anomalous objects, and any other members of the church. The church has a safe house containing 100 other objects, but Bumaro is certain that the Foundation doesn't know where it is. And even if they did, the world's focus right now is on the World War in Europe. The agent mentions that they are having trouble finding enough food for the entity, and it's become so ravenous that it's eating the warehouse it's contained in. They cannot reason with it, but Bumaro is convinced that someone who is devout enough can speak with their god and tell it the necessity for secrecy. Rather than angering Bumaro and admitting that they cannot, the agent assures him that they'll make it happen. As you know, they couldn't manage to keep it a secret for too long, and eventually the entity broke loose again, leading to its destruction. A Foundation commander discusses how his team was planning to ship out of Mexico to go to France in order to keep some anomalous objects out of German hands when the trains stopped running. There had been a number of refugees in the area who said that their entire town had been consumed by a machine, and the railway shut down due to some incident further north. Foundation personnel in the area were hauling some large objects out of Mexico, and so they were forced to wait it out. But they sent a small group north to check out the accident. 5 days passed before one of the men from the group returned, delirious, going on about a world eater, and how the rest of the group was dead. The group had come across the entity, and realizing that they would never be able to contain something like this, attempted to destroy it. Unsuccessfully, obviously. The commander himself saw the entity a while later, referring to it as a mountain of moving parts, blackening the sky as it chewed through everything in its path. He says that this went beyond anything they had been trained for, and that they knew this thing was going to kill them. It was just a matter of when. Foundation personnel in the area were kept in the dark, figuratively and literally, as the entity continued consuming and billowing out massive amounts of smoke that darkened the sky for weeks. They're told that they are here to fix the rails, but instead they simply sit and wait. A man comes into town with half of his face burned off, delirious. He talks about a machine the size of a mountain that speaks to you, convincing people to throw themselves into it. The people that do so are shredded instantly. The entity finally comes within sight of the Foundation personnel sitting there, as it moves across the countryside on millions of cogs, like an iron centipede. By this point, its body is large enough to extend upwards into the massive cloud of smoke, making its true size indiscernible. It devours mountains and entire towns whole, pulling them into a hellish furnace in its chest. the people in the area can hear it screaming in their minds. Well, this is a pretty big problem for the Foundation, and one that clearly seems to be beyond their capabilities of destroying, let alone containing. And when the Foundation absolutely needs something dead, they know who to team up with. The Global Occult Coalition, or as it was known in those days, the Allied Occult Initiative. To this day, Foundation agents admit that the GOC were the ones responsible for killing the entity, so this is a good example of the GOC doing right as far as the Foundation is concerned. The AOI found an anomalous device on an island off the coast of Greece, and they had come to believe that it could be used in some way to slow the advance of the entity. The device apparently had some mind-altering effect associated with it, and so the agent discussing these events can't really remember much about it. Agents from the AOI contacted the Foundation and came to Mexico, with the Foundation eager for the assistance. The AOI then sent a single agent with the device towards the entity, which was still in the process of consuming everything in sight, including the ground. The clouds then part above the entity, and a massive mechanical construct appears overhead as it begins glowing blue. A bright beam of light erupts from the construct towards the entity, which reacts violently and begins reaching towards it. An explosion commences, and when the Foundation came in afterwards, they found the entity annihilated, the construct disappeared, and a massive chunk of Mexico destroyed, becoming what is known as the Gulf of California. The construct was later found in low Jupiter orbit and was classified as SCP-2399, although it was in a severe state of disrepair. The Foundation removed the heart from the remains of the entity, causing the rest of the parts on the bottom of the Gulf to collapse. They then utilized some experimental amnestics on widespread groups of populations, causing more than 2 million deaths in the following decade. Whoops. Remember that woman with the chains for hair and that small metal box she took from the FBI? Well, it turns out that she showed up on a small island off the coast of Greece a few months before the destruction of the entity. The AOI approached her, and she was willing to give them the metal box, but then she flipped out and subdued two officers before being restrained. She then demanded to be taken to Mexico so that she could take the artifact there. The AOI then looked into what was going on in Mexico and decided to ship a platoon there along with the woman. We'll hear from her again soon. So, the GOC had killed a god, but the Foundation had to clean it up. They found countless small pieces of the entity strewn about, small gears and pulleys and pistons, each of them still moving on their own for some time. Some injuries were had by some agents who were being dumb around the machinery, but only one death, a local who they had sent into the bay to get some straps around the heart. They found him with his head crushed between two moving pieces, and it looked like he had shoved it in there himself. They had also found roughly 100 anomalous objects connected to the Church of the Broken God, and joked that they might have to build a new site just to contain them all. An agent remarks that standing near those artifacts made you feel something, like serenity or relief, except for the heart. When they pulled it out, the locals complained about hearing voices, and none of them would dare approach it, no matter how much money they were offered. The Foundation agents felt iffy about it as well, but they eventually got it loaded onto a ship. The agent then notes that, unlike the rest of the church artifacts, which were unmarked, the heart had a tag on it, reading, "Property of the Factory." If you've watched the rest of my SCP series, you've already heard about the factory, most notably from a 001 proposal I discussed in my SCP-4000 video. The long and the short of it, though, is that the factory is a lot like Dr. Wondertainment, a poorly understood and mysterious group of creators that make anomalous objects. The difference with the factory, however, is that their creations tend to be darker or more dangerous. There isn't a whole lot known about the factory, but you can probably bet that they don't worship the broken god. What ended up happening then is that a group of members of the Church of the Broken God, led by Robert Bumaro, were hell-bent on rebuilding their god at all costs. They had dozens and dozens of small artifacts that they knew were legitimate pieces of the god. But what they didn't have, and what they really needed, was the heart. They don't know where the heart is. The Foundation doesn't know where the heart is. Probably no one knows where the heart actually is. And so Bumaro set out to make one instead. Perhaps that is ultimately what the church is meant to do, make a heart for their god. But the way that Bumaro went about doing so was, in the end, wrong. We don't know exactly what the factory went through to make this false heart. But remember that priest earlier that implied that thousands died due to supposed natural causes right around the time they recovered the heart? The factory generally doesn't shy away from dealing with entities we'd refer to as demonic, and it's likely some horrible ritual was used to create this false heart. The false heart allowed the entity to animate, consume metal, and connect to the legitimate artifacts, but it was driven mad by its own creation, and ultimately begged to be killed. In the aftermath, the false heart was being transported on a ship that ended up crashing, leaving it at the bottom of the Gulf. It was designated SCP-882, meaning that, just like SCP-2399, this proposal implies that the actual document for 882 has been falsified. The final addendum is from an interview with the chain-haired lady, who claimed to be a part of a previously unknown sect of the church, and agreed to talk to the Foundation. She says that the GOC did not kill the broken god, as they claim, but instead just a piece of it, the way a camshaft is a piece of a car. She says that instead, God is everything, from the biggest star to the smallest particle, meshing together as one cosmic machine. She admits that, at one point, the machine aspect was likely just a metaphor, but the idea grew more powerful over time, taking shape into something more real. She can't answer most of the Foundation's questions about the Broken God, but she does say that, regardless of what the Broken God once was, it must remain that way. Broken. She also says that the Broken God knows that it must remain broken, and thus, it was the one that allowed itself to be destroyed by SCP-2399. She goes on to say that SCP-2399 was already damaged before destroying the entity, as this has all happened before. She says that eventually, the monster will win, consuming 2399 and using its power to consume everything. She suggests that perhaps this too has happened before, and the universe has been destroyed and remade by the broken god in the past. But this time, there may be some outside forces mingling with it, such as the Factory, or the Davites, or the Fifthus, or some reality benders. She ends by suggesting that the Foundation continue to work with the Church of the Broken God to prevent such occurrences from happening in the future, finishing with, "Apart, we are broken, but united, we are God." In the end, this is one person's interpretation of the Church of the Broken God ethos, and really we can't be sure how trustworthy this chain-haired woman actually is. The Foundation would certainly not like another instance of this entity to pop up, and they are willing to work with the Church on other matters, such as dealing with the Sarkics, so who knows? This part of the Ouroboros cycle doesn't really specifically intertwine with the previous part at all, except for both taking place in Mexico. But that's largely because they were both written independently. In broad terms, though, we go back to that idea of the ends justifying the means, which is what the Foundation believed with creating the children, and is what Robert Bumaro believed in creating his false broken god. While the children ended up serving the purpose of the Foundation, it's more unclear on what Bumaro thinks of his creation. Perhaps this is simply a failed experiment and they move on, or perhaps it was more of a trial run.